This is Payments Innovation. We take you deep into the DNA of digital finance with some of the most respected voices in the industry. Let's dive in. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Payments Innovation Podcast. In this episode, our focus is turning to SMBs, the small and medium-sized business market that is the lifeblood of many economies. And with the combined effects of globalization taking down borders and cross-border barriers, plus innovation and rapid digital change, the foundations have really been set for SMBs to thrive in the global digital economy. And yet, a counterpoint to this is that feeling that the SMB market continues to be underserved within financial services. So the questions remain, why do SMBs still perhaps feel underserved? How do they really thrive in the global marketplace? And is the future for SMBs actually beyond borders? I'm your host, Piers Murray, and joining me today is a fellow product thinker and an absolute leader in this space, Adam Goodall, VP of Product at Funding Circle, the leading lending platform to UK SMEs. Adam, a very warm welcome to you, and thank you for joining me today.
Thanks very much, Piers. Delighted to be here.
As is usual in this podcast, for all of our listeners who maybe don't know you, can you give a bit more detail about you, your background, and perhaps what you and the team are up to at Funding Circle?
I've been working in fintech since about 2012. I started a company called Coconut, where I've spent the last few years working with SMEs. So I've seen the challenges that they face day to day from a finance and payments perspective. And that's something I've been really passionate about. Since I left there last year, joined Funding Circle. You might remember they were one of the big peer-to-peer lenders some 10 years ago. They are now really just focused on the UK market and figuring out how we can help the 5 million SMEs in the UK.
So why don't we start with that 5 million SMEs? I think they represent 99% of all businesses. And when we look across to the US, I think it's 33 million SMEs, 99.9% of all businesses in the US, which I haven't quite appreciated. So those facts and figures are undisputable in the fact that SMBs are really the lifeblood of two key economies and probably of many other economies around the world. Despite some of these numbers, I think there is still this sense that the SMB market does feel underserved, particularly when it comes to some areas of financial services, and perhaps in the global digital economy, maybe underserved in the cross-border financial space. What is your perspective on this from the conversations that you're having with your clients?
If I look back to when I first joined the fintech industry, I remember there were these images talking about the disintermediation of banking that was going to happen, where you had the bank's landing page with all the different products and then all the fintechs that were taking off those slices of what the banks do with new and innovative services that offer better service, lower cost, better experience. And that's largely what we've seen over the last 10 years, right? So there is a lot of choice now out there for SMEs to avoid the fees that the banks add on to cross-border payments. But when you look at what's actually happened over the last 10 years, the amount of money that's paid to banks for FX is still pretty constant. Something like 80% of SMEs still just do it all through their bank, even though there's this plethora of options for them. I think that's really the key question, which is like, why is that? And what do we do to make that change and stop people going through these really old payment rails that are expensive and actually moving on to more modern rails like the type that you guys offer?
So why don't we dig into that area then? I think there has been this explosion of fintech, of innovation, perhaps of disruption in the past decade or 15 years or so. And so why do SMBs still get drawn back to traditional banking services and offerings when there is this plethora of alternative service providers in the market?
I feel like if you look at the consumer side, it's generally a bit of a better situation than the SME side. And I think that then asks the question, what's the difference between a consumer and an SME in terms of engaging with these kinds of products and offering that take them away from going through the bank's rails? There's a few things different with an SME that makes them more difficult to service than a consumer. Take BNPL, for example. on the consumer side, you've got things like Klarna that are doing really great because the individual ticket size is quite low, the KYC is quite easy to do, and the risk is manageable. I think doing that kind of product on the SME side is much harder because you often have complicated ownership structures that you have to unpick, and there's a high cost associated with figuring that out. So it's quite hard to make a really streamlined product around that. And the limits required are way higher as well. So there's this higher bar that you have to put them through, more complicated. And I think that's where actually we've not seen really yet much of a BNPL market around SMEs. I think for the cross-border side of the same things are at play, right? If I'm a business owner and I want to go and sign up to something and I've got a couple of directors, I've got to go through that onboarding process. It's probably going to be a bit of a pain. I then also worry about, are the limits going to be what I need? Whereas I just know that if I use my bank, I'm going to be fine. So there's a fear of financial fragmentation, of having all these different products, and you make your life complicated. There's something quite simple about just keeping everything with your bank. So I think that goes some of the way to explaining why 80% of SMEs are still just using their bank for cross-border payments.
I like that idea about one of the compelling factors for SMBs in this arguably far more complex space and sort of set of operations that you as a business owner or as that SMB has to go through. That idea of simplicity of products all within one place becomes even more vital. I think many people will associate fintech with being digital only. And I know there are lots of exceptions to that, but that sort of digital first, digital only setup is again in contrast to perhaps branch support that larger banks may continue to be able to provide. Does that play into this as well in terms of the complexity that you described within the SMB space, perhaps sometimes needing that human touch that maybe can't yet be provided or hasn't been optimized in a digital first experience?
I think that's definitely true. A lot of the consumer first products have optimized for digital only experiences. And so when you then move into the SME space and you need a bit more handholding, then maybe those players aren't quite set up to do it. And I think that's a really important point, right? Is how do we blend those digital experiences with a human touch to make sure that business owners feel like they've got the support they need when dealing with these products that are maybe a bit foreign to them?
And then if we come back to that idea of the simplicity of products all in one place, we are firmly in that wave of collaboration, of partnership, of different service providers, whether they are banks or non-banks, being able to stitch together propositions through using things like APIs to really bring that feeling of simplicity through to the end customers, the SMBs in this perspective. Do you agree with that? And are there any other technology solutions that you think are emerging or have emerged over the last few years to really try and address some of these challenges?
I think neobanks are really leading the charge on that. When it comes to cross-border payments, I know that you guys have partnered with Starling to power their cross-border payments. And so what these API-based integrations look like for those experiences is one where now the neobanks are choosing to use these modern rails for how they offer cross-border functionality in a way that goes around the existing legacy infrastructure. The question I have as well is how and when does that start to happen in legacy banks as well? There will eventually become a commercial compulsion to start to look at updating the way they go to offer cross-border payments and looking at new solutions like Currency Cloud and the Visa proposition. I think there are some other interesting technologies around like blockchain and things like that. Maybe we could talk a bit about that as well.
No podcast would be complete at the moment without the mention of blockchain, crypto, stable coins and beyond. So yeah, from your perspective, what is that feeling on around blockchain, crypto, perhaps in this cross-border payment space?
The places where I see blockchain talked about, it's not boots on the ground amongst the business owners. And that's where I think a lot of this the remaining 80% of SMEs to move to modern rails is not going to be done by the business owners making the jump into new financial products. It's going to be based on the rails themselves updating within the banking ecosystem. I think when you look back to, you know, the original thesis for Bitcoin, it was addressing the double spend problem, where the existing solution to that was like, our clearing process, making sure like everyone's ledgers match at the end of the day. And Bitcoin was a beautiful solution to that, to have one shared but decentralized ledger that is the record of ownership of who owns what money, that allows for instant, and maybe not with Bitcoin, but with other protocols, cheap transfers on a global basis. And so I think things like Ripple seem to be getting quite a lot of traction amongst banks for cross-border payments and other sort of smart contract stuff. But I think you're now starting to see private companies looking into launching their own stable coins. You had Facebook Meta doing Libra a while back. PayPal's just launching their sort of PayPal USD. And then you've got the central banks taking note of that and wanting to do their own digital currencies. All of this is starting to create quite an interesting space for where the future of cross-border payments go. When you start to see the Fed in the US making their own digital currency that will be portable across borders, then where does the future take us?
I totally agree with everything you just shared. But coming back to the first part of your answer, you mentioned that for many SMBs, they're not thinking about the underlying mechanism of sending and receiving money across borders in this case. They are probably thinking about their jobs to be done, the fact that they need to pay invoices in different countries or be paid by customers in the global digital marketplace. There was a report by Swift recently that said that 61% of SMBs refuse to return to a provider if processes are not effortless enough. In some ways, I'm surprised that that's not slightly higher, but I think it still proves the point that the end-to-end experience for the SMB has to be placed firmly in mind by any provider, whether that's a bank or non-bank, whether that's domestic or cross-border. This has to come back to what the SMB is wanting to do, what those business owner challenges are. How do we collectively go and solve them?
Totally agree. Yeah. You know, it's the classic, people don't want a hammer, they want a beautiful painting on the wall. First and foremost, whatever product or services they're selling to their customers, making sure that they're keeping their customers happy and keeping money coming through the door to them. I think one of the problems is amongst the top sort of dinner conversation topics, financial services and FX is not really one of them in a lot of their households, right? And so that's where I think it's incumbent on us in the industry to make things as easy as possible for the customers that we serve, whether that is providing a really great product for customers to come and sign up to directly, or providing the infrastructure that you can make available to the banks to be able to integrate lower cost channels into their existing experience. I think these are the ways that we'll start to address the underserved segments like SMEs more effectively.
And that's a brilliant perspective from the service provider lens. If we put ourselves in the shoes of SMBs or SMB owners, what are the best practices that they need to be aware of in order to help them grow in this global digital economy?
SMBs can obviously shop around and make sure that they're getting the best offer. I think one of the challenges is often there's too much choice on the market. I don't know if you saw in recent years, the BCR fund banking competition remedies, that after the financial crisis, one of the remedies was to reduce the size of RBS's footprint. And that eventually turned into this fund that was in part to give an incentive to other banks to offer customers of RBS dowries, essentially, for moving from RBS to them in the SME space. And about halfway through that program, they had to double the amounts that they were offering because they could simply not get people to shift out of the of RBS, even by paying them. I think it just comes down to people are so tied to their banks that, you know, we're fighting a bit of a losing battle there trying to change that. I did just see that the current account switching service just reached its 10 million switches since launch. And I think probably a bit more of awareness of that is useful to understand that, you know, you'll move your direct debits, any payments you receive after you've moved are going to be forwarded. And I think these are things that people are nervous about when they move bank, because they're going to have to set everything up again and payments will go missing and they'll need to tell everyone that they've got new account details. So that's one tip I've got, is switching is easier than ever. I think the other is that onboarding to new products is easier than ever. I think a lot of business owners will remember when they opened their HSBC account and had to go into the branch and take documents in and do everything in person. And there's now a lot of digital first providers that can make the onboarding experience a lot easier than people might think.
And I guess, again, going back to one of the comments that you've just made, that complexity in the switching service also starts to increase exponentially from a business perspective. We're not talking about, you know, single accounts with single person or individual ownership. We're talking about a fundamentally far more complex setup that has much wider reaching implications from a business perspective. You know, the result of something failing in a switch may mean reduced cash flow, may mean salaries not being able to be paid. It may mean invoices not being able to be paid. And they all have significant potential consequences downstream.
Yeah, I made it sound like nothing ever goes wrong, but 100% things go wrong in that process. I've seen, you know, various banks being fined for not doing the process properly. Don't quote me on that. But yeah, it's definitely a good point.
And really, really key in terms of the decision-making within this space. And for me, actually, this comes back to that idea of partnership collaboration. Being able to wrap up best-in-class products within particular brands or services then starts to provide that sort of whole product set of solutions, suite of solutions for particular SMBs in particular markets. I certainly have lots of conversations about the huge breadth of different requirements, use cases, jobs to be done, markets in which SMBs are operating. And that also becomes very, very difficult for any one single service provider to do incredibly well across the entire spectrum of those services.
With that point where it is hard for one provider to do everything well, we might start to see with some of the high street banks is a move more in a direction of, we'll do the bank, but let someone else do the experience. When I first started Coconut, we wanted to launch a current account product, but we didn't want to get a license ourselves. And so we looked around for whether there was a banking provider that we could partner with. And in the UK at the time, there wasn't. So we partnered with an e-money institution. And since then, and in recent years, that banking as a service proposition is really starting to pick up now. So I'm going to be interested to see how that gets on and how it develops.
And as we just start to kind of look to the future and start to wrap up, we've talked a little bit about blockchain and crypto continuing to disrupt some of this space in the future. You've just called out the continued emergence of the banking as a service infrastructure that helps other providers generally sit on top of them to provide those compelling sets of solutions, propositions to specific parts of the SMB market or beyond. Are there any other kind of fundamental changes, predictions, trends that you see emerging in the future for the SMB space?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think really just the continuance of banks' hand being forced on offering lower cost payment rails for cross-border. I think what that will start to look like is integration of other rails into the existing experience. And I think this could also extend to other more niche products that the banks aren't as set up to provide, but still want to offer it. Things like BNPL or other short-term credit products that do need quite a specific risk model to be able to offer. Those kind of products will be very tricky for banks to offer themselves. But I think partnering with fintechs, long may it continue, I really see this as the secret sauce to having safe banks that don't self-destruct whilst actually still trying to push the boundaries forward from an innovation perspective by creating that incentive for fintechs to continue pushing the boundary and being able to partner with banks at a later stage in their journey.
That point around visibility, transparency, that's a key concept, certainly, that we're having conversations around, that pursuit of transparency. And I certainly see that continued pursuit for the open data concept, whether that actually sits on top of open banking rails and regulation, as might happen in the retail space, whether that happens in the SMB space, TBC, I think, as well. But it is that concept of SMBs really being able to feel comfortable that they can see exactly what is happening with their finances and to feel like they are then in control of what is happening within businesses.
And I think that transparency point is really important, particularly with consumer duty that's come in. Obviously, that applies to the consumer side, but also there is a chunk of the SME side on the sort of unincorporated sole trader that's actually like about 3 million of the 5 million SMEs. So that transparency of showing what fees are and what they'll be paying also comes into it as well. And given there is that overlap in the SME space between consumer and business, I think the improvements in transparency will sort of flow upstream as a result of that.
Yeah. And again, I'm really pleased to see the UK leading the charge on the consumer duty side. Yes, there are a lot of changes that service providers across the industry are having to make. But ultimately, this is in pursuit of a better end customer experience for you as an individual or you as a small business owner, in this case, with consumer duty. I certainly am fully supportive of that. And I really hope that that UK model can then start to be replicated in other parts of the world significantly over the coming years. Adam, brilliant. We have covered a lot here. We've delved into the SMB space in loads of detail, both from a lending and a transactional cross-border payment perspective. We've talked on a little bit about the FX side of things and ended up thinking about infrastructure and blockchain, crypto, and some other sort of next steps in the future. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a real pleasure speaking to you. For anyone who wants to reach out, find out a bit more about you, where can they find you online?
I'm on LinkedIn, and then my handle across everything is Adam J. Go.
Well, thanks for joining. And to all of our listeners, thank you again for choosing to tune in to another episode of the Payments Innovation Podcast.
Thanks for joining us here on Payments Innovation. We'd love to hear your thoughts and ideas about the show. Connect with Currency Cloud on Twitter or LinkedIn to find out more. And remember to subscribe via your favorite podcast player. Until next time.